take your Bibles, if you will, turn with me to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7. It is good to have Bill and Kay, who walked all the way from Guatemala to be with us in service today. And we're glad that they're with us. How are things going down in Guatemala?
About 40 degrees warmer.
That's a pretty big deal.
God is truly blessing, and we thank y'all. We thank y'all. You're our family, too.
Amen.
And, you know, we got 3 extra grandkids out of it. You know, sister in the Lord there for a week or so. And we, it's just, God is bonding people together. His kingdom is being put together. And we just stand amazed.
Amen.
And y'all do a lot of things that you don't get to see or experience because of the heart you have. And we had a chance to spend some time with Chima, who is in La Colina, where the kitchen is operating, and it is being a blessing not only to the school kids, but to the community there in La Colina. And it's amazing. They just, well, Connie and Leah and Jennifer and Justice told you about it because they had a chance to be there and see what the giving from your heart can do in God's kingdom.
Amen. We appreciate Bill and Kay being with us. And if you're visiting with us or you're new to us, there are missionaries down in Guatemala. So when you drop a dollar in the offering plate, a portion of that goes to their ministry. And one of the things that our church did through that was to help in building a kitchen, a very rudimentary, simple kitchen for schools down there in the community, down there in a small, underserved area of Guatemala. And I will tell you, Bill and Kay, that the journey down there changed 4 people dramatically. And I told them before they went, it's going to change you forever. Did it change you guys?
Yeah.
Forever. And the thing is, what we do for Christ changes lives for eternity. It makes a difference. So we do appreciate you being with us, Bill and Kay. We appreciate those of you that are faithful to give and help and support. Getting ready for Christmas. The number one question this time of year when people greet one another is, are you ready for Christmas? You look me in the face and say, well, Chip, are you ready for Christmas? And I'm going to tell you, nope. Long as there is a CVS or Walgreens open on Christmas Eve, I'll be ready. Amen. That's all right. You can laugh, but I know better. Some of you are the same way. Look with me, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, a very familiar passage of Scripture. And as we get ready for Christmas, we need a regular reminder what Christmas is really about. It's a very simple verse, but a profound verse. Powerful. Isaiah 7 and verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. This was over 740 years before Jesus would be born. God announced, his birth announcement came out way in advance. You talk about getting ready for Christmas. One of the most ridiculous things I saw this year was, it was in October. I want to say it was probably going on the second week of October. I went through the garden section in Walmart in Manchester, and they were putting out Christmas stuff. Seriously? It isn't even Halloween. I ain't even got any of that bogus candy yet. You know what I'm saying? And they're already putting Christmas out on us. But you know what? God got ready for Christmas a long time ago. He sent his son to die for you and me, and he knew what he was doing. There's a false cult that years ago was very powerful in the late 70s, early 80s, that followed Sun Myung-moon, a Korean false teacher who said that Jesus failed in his mission, and so Sun Myung-moon came to take his place. That group became known as the Moonies, and they were nigh unto crazy in adoration for this guy, Sun Myung-moon, because he said that he was the new Jesus. We shouldn't be surprised. Jesus himself said, after I leave, he said, there's going to be folks coming saying, here's Christ and there's Christ. He said, don't believe it. When I come back, everybody will know it. And I believe that. Getting ready for Christmas. As a matter of fact, Christmas is getting kind of a hassle, isn't it? Yeah, I want to. Now, you didn't know I could rap, did you? Y'all didn't know? Well, let me share a rap with you. People lifted up their head. Okay, just listen. Hear me out. Christmas. Christmas. Oh, nice echo there. Thank you. That's very good. That's good. My man making me look good back there. Yeah. Christmas. Christmas. What is Christmas? Shoppers scampering, families visiting, budgets stretching with Santas hastening. Candy nibbling, people fattening. There's no sense in dieting. What is Christmas? Christmas. Christmas. What is Christmas? Riding on a snowplow, dashing through the snow now. Stockings are hung by the chimney. What is Christmas? Christmas. Christmas. What is Christmas? Mistletoe holly, Santa Claus jolly. No geometry, partridge in a pear tree. What is Christmas? Take a vacation from education, Norma. For relaxation, try hibernation. What is Christmas? Help fight inflation, give a donation. See the decorations. What is Christmas? What's the big gift under the tree? No one will tell. I hope it's for me. I'll get a glimpse much later tonight. I'll take a peek after midnight. What is Christmas? Yeah. And don't tell me that that's not how Christmas has turned into. Because it has. And we've missed the point. We have totally missed the point. Let's pray. Father, I bow before you. Thank you for the privilege of being here with your people. And God, I come before you this morning and I'm asking you to help me and empower me, God. I don't want to stand here a pointless, powerless preacher. And God, I pray that you would use this to be a blessing to your folks. Thank you for your mercies and grace to us. In Jesus' name, amen. It's interesting that Christmas in its roots was very simple. It was basically on the down low. You had a man and his new bride going to be taxed. That was the whole story, or so it seemed. But you and I know there was much more to the story than that. And I will tell you that one of the things I really like about Christmas is the decorations. I love it, man. I love going through. We went to Pigeon Ford last year. If you get a chance to do this, you ought to do it. Don't do it during church right now. But I mean, if you get a chance to go to Pigeon Ford, you need to do it. When you get off the Pigeon Forge exit, you turn left instead of right. And up on the hill, it costs you like, I don't know, $12-$15 a carload. But what they've got, they sync it to music, and you play it on your radio as you go through there. And, man, it is awesome. They got tens of thousands of lights. And, man, I mean, I was really getting into it. Now, we got a car that's got driving lights that you can't shut off. And so all the people in front of us, they were not only rejoicing in the lights, they were really happy about us with our headlights on when they're trying to see the Christmas lights. But I could see them, so it wasn't a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's interesting how that even today, the world pushes back against the true meaning of Christmas. In Fort Collins, Colorado in 2007, I'm going to read to you something that they put forth. Their city council, when it came to the city's decorations, listen to this. A special task force in the Colorado city, and that's Fort Collins, has recommended banning red and green lights at the Christmas holiday because they fall among the items that are too religious for the city to sponsor. I want you to hold on to that for a second. Think on that. Too religious, red and green. And they went on, this is a quote, said, some symbols, even though the Supreme Court has declared that in many contexts, they are secular symbols, often still sends a message to some members of the community that they and their traditions are not valued or not wanted. Everybody go, oh. Yeah. We got to be politically correct, right? It says, "We don't want to send that message," Seth Anthony, a spokesman for the committee, told the Fort Collins, Colorado newspaper. He said the recommended language does not specifically address Christmas trees by name, but the consensus among their board was that they would not fall within acceptable decorations either. No Christmas trees, no red and green lights. Hang on to that. What will be allowed are white lights and secular symbols not associated with any particular holiday, such as icicles, unadorned greenery, and snowflakes, the task force said. I got good news. That was in 2007. It lost by a landslide. The people, that when they heard about it, went nuts and said, "This is crazy." But if you don't remember, 2007 was right at the beginning of the height of our politically correct environment that overtook this nation for the last 8 years. I'm here to tell you that as a Christian and just as a sensible, I hope, semi-sensible human being, I am sick of political correctness. Amen? Amen. But there's truth in this that I don't want you to miss. Why is it that they decided that red and green lights were religious, and not only religious, but specifically pointed to Christianity? Now, here's what's interesting, Gary. The same committee said it was okay for the Jews to set up a menorah for Hanukkah. It was also okay for the Hindus to set up a symbol for their equivalent of Christmas, and also to set up things for the make-believe holiday, and it is make-believe, called Kwanzaa. There is no such thing. Hope you know that. It was created. So they allowed that, but they would not allow red and green lights. And here's why. The message, they said, was in the colors. Did you hear that? The message, listen, the message was in the colors. There's truth to that. Listen, when the enemy doesn't want it, I want it. When the devil don't like it, I like it. So if they said it wasn't politically correct to have red and green, there must be something related to red and green that tripped their trigger. And there is. Years ago, in a Russian gulag, a prison camp, there was a missionary who went there. This was during the days of the czars. Most people could not read and write, and he wasn't allowed to bring in a Bible, and as a matter of fact, if he did, they couldn't read it. So what he did is he prepared colored cards of different colors, and he sewed them together in a way, and they became known as what you've heard of, the wordless book. And it was a set of colors, and he was allowed to go in, and to the prisoners, he would explain, "This is black. Black stands for the sins and the bad things we do." And each color represented something. What I want to do is I want to share with you in getting ready for Christmas that we don't forget what's behind the colors. Evidently, it's interesting that Satan's crowd recognizes there's something behind it, but God's people are just ignorant about it. The Bible says, and repeated in several places, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren." Now, ignorance is not a terrible thing unless you refuse to let go of it. Amen? But let me share with you the importance of colors. See, God knows that. He made you and me so we could see colors. Now, you can't see me now because I'm camouflaged. Okay, you can. I get it. Kind of reminds me of my cat again. She'll hunker down in the middle of the floor. I mean, she's a furry spot in the middle of the rug, and she thinks she's invisible. Yeah, and she's going to attack me. Thank you again, Leah. But the thing is, it means that God made us so we could see colors. And we identify colors with certain things. Do you know that they know now that certain colors can be used to alter and change your mood, along with music and also smells? God designed us to be able to take in our environment and get messages from it. And so I want to share with you the simple story of the gospel being told in the colors of Christmas. I will go along with the wordless book and simply saying that black talks about the provocation or the reason for Jesus' birth. The reason Jesus came was to save us from our sin. Sin is a horrendous thing. Sin will cost you more than you intended to pay, keep you longer than you intended to stay, and take you further than you intended to stray. Sin is a terrible thing. As I've said before, it's an equal opportunity destroyer. So in Christmas, one of the backdrop colors often used is black. That's part of the Christmas color scheme. And the reason is it's a reminder of our sin. That's the reason Jesus came, was because of our sin. Now, God doesn't like our sin. He's not proud of our sin, and neither am I, and neither are you. But it motivated him to send his son. You see, a man sinned. We've all sinned. The Bible says, wherefore is one man, talking about Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And as I've said, sin is in our DNA. It's passed down. Now, all of y'all can't be as good looking as me, and I understand that. But it was in my DNA. I couldn't help it. Man, you guys are cruel this morning. Not only can't you see me, it's obvious you didn't hear me. Listen, God has intended us to understand that every one of us in here have sinned. How many have sinned? All. Who's all? All's all, and that's all means. Amen? We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Ask the men in Sunday school, how many have ever flew an airplane or aircraft, any kind? Someone raised their hand. I said, obviously it didn't come short. You know why? They're here. But when it comes to heaven, we've all come short. What does that mean? We can't go to heaven and get to heaven on our own. You can't get there on religion. You can't get there because you and I are sinful and broken. Everybody, you may pride yourself on what a wonderful person you are, but the truth of the matter is you are a sorry sinner in need of a Savior, just like me, just like everyone else. We are broken and sinful, and the blacks that you see in the colors of Christmas reminds us of the sin that basically motivated God out of His love to send His Son to die for us. You see, sin is often called darkness. In John 3, it says, Jesus speaking, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. An angel delivered a message from God confirming that sin gives a reason for this. It says, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Amen. Then there's white, the opposite of that spectrum. Now, I remember the color wheel well enough that one is the absence of all colors, black, and one is the presence of all colors, white. I believe that's correct. I may have it reversed. But it seems to be at the opposite end. But in Christmas, you see a lot of whites as well, don't you? What do you think white stands for? Well, it stands for the purity of his birth. The fact that Jesus came and he was not a sinner. He was born of a virgin, which is critical because he did not carry the bloodline of Adam down into himself from the Father. Because who was his Father? God's his Father. And God's never sinned. And Jesus' blood is pure. We talked about that a few weeks ago. But the idea that his conception was pure. Mary was a virgin. Now I will say this in all kindness. There are cult groups that teach that God literally came down and had relations with Mary. And that's how Jesus was created. And that God was just an exalted human being. That's falsehood and lies. What was conceived in her was of the Holy Ghost. It was holy and good and of God. There was nothing perverted about it. There was nothing sexual about it. She was a virgin after she was pregnant. You can't beat that. That is something that mankind hasn't done. And I'm here to tell you, other than maybe in a test tube, an artificial insemination, but I'm here to tell you that his conception was pure. When it said, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. There were some liberal translations that changed that wording in there to say a young woman. Now let me ask you, is there anything miraculous about a young woman getting pregnant? No. But there's something miraculous about a virgin getting pregnant.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, that's what this verse says. That's what it teaches. That's what it preaches. And again, more than 700 years before Jesus was ever born. So God's idea was that he, this Savior, must come because of sin, but he must be born sinless. And in order to do that, the only way it could happen is if he was born of a virgin. His life and ministry were pure. It said of him, speaking of Jesus, who knew no sin, his goal is to make us pure. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, in that final day when all of God's people are gathered home, it said that we will be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. It's not the good things you do down here that makes you righteous. It's by identifying with the blood of Jesus, and you are righteous the same as Jesus is righteous. He took our sins, we get his righteousness. You can't beat that deal.
Amen.
Not even on Black Friday, amen?
Amen.
That he would take your sin, and we get his holiness and his righteousness in exchange. And we don't deserve it. We don't earn it. It is a gift from God. The next thing I see in the colors are the blues and the purples of Christmas. This reminds me of his bruises. Because you see, when he came, he wasn't accepted. One of the first prophecies of the coming of Jesus is found in the garden when God predicted what was going to happen. The serpent tempted man and he fell. But he speaks of one that would come and deal a death blow to Satan. Listen carefully. In Genesis 3 it says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It," meaning the serpent, "shall bruise thy heel, and thou shalt bruise his head." Listen, what does that mean? If you're going to kill a snake, where do you crush it?
Head.
Yeah, Satan was going to bruise Jesus. He would be bruised before he went to the cross. He would be bruised on the cross. And though the devil may have thought, "Man, I got him. It's over with now. He's dead, he's dead, he's dead," I'm here to tell you, he didn't stay dead. And by doing that, he crushed the serpent's head. His power was broken. So when I think of the blues, I think of the bruising that Jesus took when I see that color on Christmas. I also think of the painful price that was paid. The Bible says, "But he," meaning Jesus, "was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. His bruises were taken for you and me." Yet the Bible says it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. So the bruises Jesus carried were blessings for you and me. Did you hear me? His bruising was a blessing. Next time you see blues or purples at this time of year, I want you to think of the bruising Jesus took for you and me. Then the green. Oh, this is one of the colors that got him stirred up. Because you see, this is the principle of his birth. A new baby represents new life. He came to give you and me new life. Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." The green points to life. And Jesus came to give us life. He offers us a new birth, not just a fresh slate, not just a new start, but all of that and more in what is called the new birth. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. He gives eternal life, not just more life on this earth. It says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In John 10:28, Jesus said, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Thank God, thank God, thank God for the green at Christmas that promises us life in Christ. Amen. Oh, but then there's red. What do you imagine that might have stood for? The blood of Jesus. Is it starting to make sense now why the worldly, corrupt, politically correct crowd would want to ban red and green? Because it points straight to Jesus. It points straight to the blood. It points straight to the life that's in Christ. And it's amazing that a bunch of lost heathen on a board in Colorado who wanted to be politically correct understood that the blood and the life in Christ gets people stirred up. And their main reason, they said, is we want to be inclusive. Let me tell you what inclusive means in their book. It means, Christians, you must die, you must go away, and everybody else is welcome. That's what it means. Everybody else can be included but you. By the way, listen to me. I don't think you ought to keep Muslims from being Muslims if they want to be Muslims. But I will tell you this, under Islam, you and I are not allowed to stay Christian.
You become a Muslim or a slave or die under Islam. That's their goal. But I'm here to tell you, I don't begrudge anybody that. I want to give them their freedom. We're in America. I want them to have the liberty to do it. Yeah, there's false cults teaching. I don't support them. But they have a right to believe what they want to believe. But the truth of the matter is, why is it all those groups want to shut us up? I'm going to tell you why. It's not us personally. It's because of the message. The message is what cuts the difference. Because either you're going to heaven because you've trusted Christ, or you're going to hell because you haven't. It is a dividing thing. Jesus said, there's a broad way that leads to destruction, if many there be that find it. But the narrow way leads to life everlasting. No, it's not popular. No, it's not politically correct. But hang political correctness. Let's do what's right and not what's politically correct.
Amen.
And I'm here to tell you the blood hadn't lost its power. I'll not re-preach that. Preached it recently, but I will say again that the blood was powerful. Blood is essential for life. In Leviticus it says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. The penalty for sin is death and blood. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Only blood can pay for and remit and roll away sin. In the book of Hebrews it says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and the shedding without the shedding of blood is no remission. It's not just anybody's blood. For years, the Jews offered goats and sheep and their blood for offerings. And according to the scripture, all that did was roll their sin forward. For another year, it rolled their account. As it were, it was making their monthly payment, as it were, and rolled it ahead. But it was rolling it to somewhere, to an ultimate payment, and that was in Jesus on the cross of Calvary, where His blood would be shed. The Bible puts it this way, for it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. In 1 John 1:7, we're told, in the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son cleanses us from all sin. So Christ was once offered, it says in the book of Hebrews, to bear the sins of many. Why would they want to ban green and red? Because it talks about life in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And it talks about His blood being the only way to get salvation. Did you hear me? Under Mormonism, they believe that your own blood can pay for your sin. In Utah, one of the versions of capital punishment is the firing squad. It is a majority area, or have been, which is mostly Mormon. And they believe that when that bullet hits you and it sheds your blood, you pay for your own sin. That's outrageous. Your sin can't pay for anything unless you go to Nashville and sell it in a plasma center and get you some money and go down to Taco Bell. Your blood cannot pay for your sin. If your blood could pay for your sin, God would have never sent His Son to die in your place. He'd have just killed you. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus came that we might have life and life more abundantly through the shedding of His blood. What a deal. So when you see green, think of life. When you see red, think of the plan for His birth, that His blood would be shed. And then there's gold. I think of this as being the profit of His birth. The money side, as it were. We were talking this morning about the idea about the streets in heaven being made of gold. As a matter of fact, what it actually says is pure gold, clear as crystal. That's pretty pure when you got gold, solid gold, and you see through it. That's pure. And that's what it said the streets in heaven are going to be made of. And one day, two angels supposedly, and of course this is a true story. No, I'm just teasing. It's an illustration. Two angels looking down, and they're watching men and women fighting over money and everything else. And one of the angels looks to the other and says, why in the world are they fighting over paving stones? Because that's all it is in heaven, is paving stones. But God has done that. That life He's promised, that eternal life He's promised, is marked by the gold, that pure life in Christ. So when you see gold at Christmas time, I want you to think of the streets of gold, the promise that God has made to you and me. Now, I ask you this morning, do you think the colors of Christmas have a meaning? Do you think there's a reason why they wanted to ban red and green? I'm telling you there is. Whenever the devil accidentally shows his hand out loud like that, it's got to be an embarrassment to him, because thank God, you know what happened? It got slapped down. Thank God there's still enough people around that believe in the blood and the book and the blessed hope that it did not pass. But there's coming a day when they're going to try it again. And they're going to keep pushing it and keep pushing it and keep pushing it until what we're doing here this morning will not only be illegal, it'll be punishable by death. You say, oh, no, Chip, it's already going on in this world right now. We got brothers and sisters in Christ that are hiding to preach and teach the Word of God because of what's going on. Pray for Honduras, going through a terrible, terrible uprising now. Their whole country's in upheaval over a political election. And there, we got children of God living in Honduras, man. Know Jesus just like you and I do. And we need to pray for them. But I'm telling you, that stuff is spreading like a plague. And one day it'll encompass the world. And I believe before that breaks out in full force in what we call the Great Tribulation, God's going to take His people out in the event that we call the rapture of the church. The question this morning is, do you think you can go to heaven by just putting all the right colors up in your house? Decorating the tree the right way? No. You can't even do it by being religious. You've got to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Do you have that this morning? Do you know Him as your personal Savior? That's the critical question. I'm going to ask Brian to come, if he will, and play an invitation song for us. As he comes, I want you to stand with me, if you will, with your heads bowed, your eyes closed. Now I want you to see in your mind's eyes the colors of Christmas. The colors of Christmas. I want you to see maybe somebody wearing the ugliest Christmas sweater you've ever seen, and it's got black in the background. I want you to think of your sinfulness, that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. When you see the white that puts a snowflake in the pattern or a snowman, I want you to think of the purity of Jesus' birth, born of a virgin, sinless, lived a sinless life, died for your sin and mine. For blue, I want you to think, and the purples, I want you to think of that part of Him that was bruised for us. When you see the green, think of the principle of His birth, and that's eternal life. In red, the precious blood of Jesus. Gold, that eternal life that He's promised by faith in Him. I don't know how things are with you this morning spiritually. I trust that everything's the way it should be. But there's no guarantee of that. I can't look inside of your heart. So I come before you today and I ask you a simple question with your head bowed and your eyes closed. Do you know Him as your Lord and Savior? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that He lives in your heart? Do you know that you know that you know? If you do, all I want you to do is say a simple amen. It is good to know that you are ready to meet the Lord. And when you see the colors of Christmas, you may see things differently than some other folks, because you understand that they stand for something. You and I understand why a group of folks that don't even believe in God would want to ban red and green and say it's too religious, because it points to life in Christ that was purchased through His blood. But if you're here today and you don't know that you know that you know, I want to invite you to ask Christ into your heart. Right where you're standing, would you simply say this: Father, I know I'm a sinner, and I believe that Jesus died for me, and I want Him to come into my heart and be my Lord. And if you mean that, I promise you that God will hear that prayer. And if you make peace with God, it will change your world. So I ask you today, as you bow with your head bowed and your eyes closed, I want you to pray. Pray for somebody that you know this Christmas
that doesn't know you, Lord, that doesn't know the Lord, and that you know, that doesn't know the Lord, they make no bones about it. They will tell you that they know they're not right with God. I want you to pray for that person right now. Not because you're so good and they're so bad. We're all bad. We're all broken. We all need a Savior. I'm here today because some other broken sinner prayed for me. Would you pray for that person that comes to mind? Pray for them right now. Not braggadociously, like you're so much better than they are, but it's just one beggar telling another beggar where they found the bread. Then I want you to do this. Would you pray with me right now? Just bow your head, listen carefully as I pray, and make it your prayer. Father, help me to make Christmas what it's really about. God, help me to keep Christ and Christmas in my own life. Help me, Father, when I look at the decorations and the colors, I think of you. When I see the black, Lord, I know it's sin. When I see the white, the silvers, those beautiful colors, Lord, twinkling and bright, God, help me to think of the purity of your birth. When I see the blues and the purples, God, thank you. Thank you for the bruises that were taken in my place by your Son. God, when I see the green, help me to think of the life that I have in Christ. And when I see the red, help me to remember the blood. God, when I see the gold, help me to remember the eternal life you promised. Those of you that said amen, that you know the Lord is your personal Savior, I want you to say amen to that prayer. Would you look up at me now? I appreciate this time of year, don't you? Let's not let the world take it away from us. Let's not get wrapped up in stuff. It's okay to wrap stuff and put it under the tree, but don't get wrapped up in stuff. You understand the difference? Now let's keep Christ in Christmas. Thank God for each one of you today. I want you to be seated. I want our ushers to come forward. And before we get our picture, what I want us to do is get them to come, and we're going to take up our Nashville Rescue Mission offering. And we want you to give as unto the Lord. Things that they're doing, and one of the ministries down there called Land Pope, is they're making handmade Christmas ornaments. And if you'd be interested in those, CK, can you stand up so in case there's some busy and they don't know who you are? CK, can you say more about them real quick?
They're the ones that they're doing that I don't have with me, but I'll have them a little later, are some wooden ornaments made out of tree limbs that come off the land. And they change them and put nativity scenes and reindeer and Santa Claus and so just a variety of prints that, you know, they've the ladies have drawn on.
And what kind of donation you usually get?
It's five. They're $5 a piece.
Okay. So if you're interested, see Kay. She'll get them to me, and we'll make sure they get to you. So if you're interested, see her after service. Okay. Amen. All right. What I need is all our camo folks up here. Kids, I want you down in the front. And midget adults.